Tonight's Big Brother Wednesday night recap is sponsored in part by LegalZoom, because there's lots of great reasons that smart business people trust LegalZoom. For starters, if you want to incorporate your business, form an LLC or a nonprofit, file a patent or a trademark, get a DBA and more, LegalZoom provides you all the help you need. You know, maybe one day in the future, we'll all have a lawyer bot 9000. But until then, we may need to rely on LegalZoom, because over the past decade, over a million business owners just like you have started off with LegalZoom, because it's your first stop when you need advice from an attorney. Now, LegalZoom's not a law firm, so they built a network of independent attorneys in most states to provide legal services and other useful services to help you run your business. So whether you need a contract reviewed or advice on whether you should incorporate or form an LLC, whatever your legal questions, start with LegalZoom. They've got complete transparency, upfront pricing, customer reviews, and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. So make the smart choice for your business at LegalZoom.com today. Don't forget to enter Rob at checkout to save even more. Again, that's R-O-B at checkout for more savings. LegalZoom, legal help is here. Coming to you live from my apartment and not my in-law's basement, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now he's the only guy who's less cool than a trombonist who cries for his mommy, Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to our Big Brother coverage here. Wednesday, August 26th. We are 4 weeks away from the Big Brother 17 finale and the start of Survivor Cambodia. And I'm very excited to talk about the home stretch here tonight, here with our live feed reporter from Wednesday night. Here is Alex Kidwell. Alex, how are you?
I'm doing good, Rob. You know, there is one thing I personally enjoy that is probably equally as lame as, you know, trombonist and, you know, crying to mom, and that's robot voice.
Yes, robot voice. The Zingbot was back. We'll talk about everything going on, the trials and tribulations of the Zingbot's life here on the podcast. Now, I know a lot of you guys are saying, like, wait a minute, hold on. Didn't you say Jason was going to be on the podcast tonight? Didn't you say that? And I most certainly did, but I was not lying. It was not a lie. Jason was scheduled to be with us here tonight. He ended up having some other plans that he had forgotten about or whatever, something came up. He's going to be with us on Sunday night, so hang in there. We are going to talk to Jason on Sunday instead of tonight. So disappointed to not have him here, but still excited to talk to him this Sunday night. And then if something comes up then he'll be dead to us. But for as of right now, we're gone for Sunday night coming up, Alex.
Yeah, I was bummed not to have Jason on here. I mean, I guess I could do my Jason impression, but I don't think it really holds water. I could talk about,
you know, Jason impression?
A little bit. I really love that one POV with the cameras where he's talking about, yeah, you got your gumball on one and you got your Dr. Squirrel.
I just Squirrel. Thought
that was just, yeah. I'll never lose Squirrel. That's in my vernacular forever.
Good.
And that's thanks to Jason Roy.
All right, Alex, but we got a lot to talk through here tonight on a very interesting Wednesday night show. A lot of drama that surrounded what Vanessa was going to do, and ultimately Vanessa finding out about this plot from Johnny Mac, and really some good stuff between Vanessa and Steve.
Yeah, boy, Sunday's episode, it really, you know, it was all Austin, right? My week, my HOH, all that. Didn't tonight's episode feel like this was Vanessa's HOH?
Yeah.
I mean, did you really get the impression, if you were just tuning in tonight, that Austin is running the ship this week?
The only thing we saw Austin talk about was the Zingbot and Liz trying to rekindle the relationship after the Zingbot threw some cold water on it.
Yeah, it's so unfair, right? Here he is trying to focus on this veto and get ready for this competition. He doesn't need to deal with all this right now.
Yeah, so such so unfair for Austin. All right, so let's just set the stage here tonight. Of course, we're streaming live. We've got the chat room open on robiswebsite.com. We're going to take your tweets later on in this show, hashtag RHAP, and then also on our YouTube channel at robiswebsite.com/YouTube tomorrow night. Big show on Thursday. We'll be live at 10:15 p.m. Eastern to talk about it all. The next live eviction, plus one of four people will return to the house. Who knows? It could be a revolving door scenario coming up. So that is all going to be on that Thursday night show. And then we'll, of course, discuss what is going to happen overnight. We probably won't get an HOH in that show. We'll probably push the HOH competition to Sunday night on Big Brother this week, like we've been doing the last couple of weeks. But Alex and I will talk about it all this Friday morning and tell you who we are expecting to be nominated on Friday on the podcast. I also did a podcast with the reporter who did the oral history of Big Brother for the Huffington Post. I'm going to try to have that podcast out for you guys as well. So I'll have some bonus Big Brother content for you guys to listen to, hopefully tomorrow morning. So Alex, let's jump into this. And I guess let's just talk about Vanessa and this discovery of the fact that there were five people, and they really kind of threw Steve under the bus. And I don't think that's necessarily a fair assessment of how that went. So Vanessa is armed with this information that people were working on trying to get her out of the house. I'm sure that she was a little panicked about the whole thing leading up to the nominations this past week, but ultimately she stays off the block, but she finds out just how close she was. How big of a game change do you feel like this is?
It's been pretty big. I mean, the last two or three days, you know, I mean, well, I don't want to go into spoilers, obviously, but, you know, ever since that happened, it really does seem like Vanessa has reconsidered Steve in the game, and that Steve was someone she was not necessarily discounting as a player, but certainly someone she thought was kind of her piece to play with on the board. And I think that kind of woke her up to the idea that Steve has fingers in pies she might not know about. And that's a scary thought to her.
The thing about Steve being under the radar, we've talked about at times over the course of the summer, actually Steve is starting to play the game and he's doing this and he's doing that and he's got some things going on. But I think we saw a little bit of the bad side of Steve tonight, where I don't necessarily know if he was ready for prime time in terms of getting called out on stuff that he's doing that's underhanded in the house. He really looked as though he was about to hyperventilate. It was like we were going to need to rush in an inhaler for Steve. It was not a good look for Steve tonight.
Yeah, no, I've been having this conversation a lot this week. And it's interesting because I was having this conversation even before it happened this season, because I just so happened to be watching with a friend a montage of like all the fights from Big Brother 11 through Big Brother 14 this week. And I was reminded of Russell, the MMA fighter from Big Brother 11, who just would follow Ronnie around and just jaw at him. And it really disrupted Ronnie's game. And it made me realize, like, I'm going to start calling this the nerd's thumbscrew, Rob, because this really is like the big antagonistic display is what upsets the apple cart for guys like Steve, guys like me. I mean, guys who are like naturally averse to confrontation, who are maybe strategically savvy, have all the book smarts in the world, but maybe not all the street smarts in the world. And maybe I think that's why a character like a Russell, an MMA guy, someone who's willing to get confrontational, is a necessity in the Big Brother house, because it really it provides a perfect foil for someone whose game is anything to avoid confrontation, which, I mean, we see a lot of people who end up getting cast. That is the case.
Well, to the person who is trying to make the most of the vagaries and secrets and working behind the scenes, the direct approach is usually the biggest way to throw them off, because when you demand some sort of yes or no, where they can't really, in the subtlety of what they're saying, play a little bit of word games with you. And no, I didn't actually say that. It was actually this person that said that. Coming at that person with a direct approach, a direct confrontation, is usually the best way to disarm that. And it's actually something I think that was a flaw in my game, certainly at times. I felt like in the seasons that I played on Survivor, I don't think that I do particularly well at that, just to be somebody to do a self-evaluation. So I definitely can understand that. I'd like to think I was doing better than Steve, though.
Oh, no, absolutely. I would agree. But yeah, no, I think this is, you know, this is an interesting conversation, I think, because I do believe it's a common theme. You see a lot of people who are very intelligent, you know, really have the strategy down, end up being the kind of people who, right, like their game is predicated on deception and kind of, you know, putting a good face forward while kind of behind the scenes being able to wheel and deal and talk about people like they don't care about them as much as they might at face value. So I think when you really kind of like, yeah, make that, like call them out, make them make a statement in public in front of where other people can hear. I think in that situation, nobody was in the room, but people were certainly able to hear. It was loud enough.
Wait, in public or just in front of the Scamper Squad?
James and Meg were right on the other side of that door.
Now, that's what Steve had asked earlier in the episode when Austin said he wanted to say something in public.
Right,
sorry.
Right. Yeah. I mean, public is public at this point. We're down to so few players that, you know, it's really like news is going to get around very quick. There's like two people who are on the outs if they didn't see it at any given time. So, yeah.
So let's role play a little bit, if you don't mind. Let me be Vanessa.
I never mind.
Yes. Right. Let me be Vanessa and you be Steve. Okay. And let's have that conversation. And she corners him in that room. She's like, Steve, did you or did you not? Were you the mastermind of this 5-person plan to get me out last week?
No.
I want you to do it correctly. I want you to give me the answer that is going to fix this. We saw the bad answer.
Ah, okay.
We saw the bad way to do it. Let's fix this.
Okay. No, Vanessa, absolutely not. What happened? Austin and the twins called me up. They're terrified of you. They wanted to pull me and Johnny Mac in because they think we're weak and they think we don't have anyone. I mean, I have you. They don't know anything about the way me and you have been working this game beyond just our five. But the reality is, Vanessa, I have no power this week and I couldn't do anything without them. The fact that this got as far as it did for Johnny Mac to be pulled in is clearly an example that they were entertaining the idea, because it could have never got that far if I was just up there like throwing darts at a board the way they're describing. That would be my argument.
Steve, I've had your back the entire game. I've watched out for you. I've taken care of you. You've always been somebody that I tried to keep close to me and I was protective of you the whole time. Why didn't you come to me and tell me about this as soon as it happened? Why didn't you let me know that my name was on the chopping block?
Because it was me or you, Vanessa. And it was a situation where if I do that and Austin finds out in any way, shape or form, then it's me for sure. And I'm screwed. And then we can't even come to a solution about this as a duo because we're outed.
How am I supposed to trust you if you don't share all this information that you have? You're having conversations with people in this house about getting me out and you don't even tell me that they're occurring. How could I ever get you back in somebody that I trust, Steve?
Because everyone is having these conversations, Vanessa, and I was one of the last to entertain them. Austin and the twins were already having these discussions with James and Meg. If you need to be able to trust somebody, you can't play for yourself at 8. And I'm the only one who's legitimately going to keep your back, because once Johnny Mac goes, I have no one and I'm going to need you.
Okay, well, this is better than what happened by a lot.
I'd like to think I could. And that's why, I mean, these last few days, you know, I've been seeing it online. It's so frustrating for fans to watch this, because not only is Vanessa like accusing people of things that she's obviously doing because it's good game, but, you know, Steve's not like standing up for himself. Not like, you know, he almost like coming out of that situation, he looked guilty. And it's a shame because, he's somewhat culpable, but he's not exclusively culpable in this situation. So it is a shame, you know, if people do feel like, you know, there's moments where you don't want to push back. Obviously, we've talked about the value of laying low, but we're at a point now in the game where if you don't push back, there's just not a lot of places to hide anymore. So you're gonna, if you come out looking bad this week, that could very well be you going home.
So Vanessa was in an interesting spot this week. We have Johnny Mac and Steve up on the block. She had the opportunity to potentially use the power of veto. She went to her alliance. Austin said, I don't want you to use the power of veto. She did not. Do you feel like she should have anyway?
Yeah, that's a tough call. I guess, oh man, I could see how she maybe could, because, you know, how can they safely target her next anyway? Like, there's going to be a juror coming back. There's going to be a James group that they're going to have to, the Austin and the twins are going to have to consider. So if she went ahead and made the move despite Austin's wishes, it's possible that she could have gotten away with it. At the same time, like, that puts her maybe back in the situation where she doesn't want to be, where Steve and Johnny Mac have no trust with her and Austin and the twins have no trust with her. And she really feels like she needs a group at this point, that she can't be hung out to dry when a new juror comes back, because it might just be easy for everyone to say like, well, let's just get rid of Vanessa and figure it out after.
Alex, could you settle this for people? I know I've seen on Twitter and people have been asking me, was Steve actually the person who came up with the idea for the 5-person plan?
No, like originally I remember there was a conversation where Vanessa was telling Austin and the twins to make a phony deal that included her with Johnny Mac and Steve. So they got the ball rolling. I mean, she got the ball rolling on the idea of a phony deal that Austin and the twins, I mean, they were clearly always going to implement. They just decided to implement it without Vanessa and make it seem more genuine just to cover themselves in the event Austin and the twins didn't win HOH. So this was all set up last week under the guise of, you know, under the pretense of, you know, a fake alliance. But the reality is, I mean, right, it all kind of came, you know, the groundwork was laid well before last Thursday night, which is when Steve really went up there and tried to push the five deal.
We started to see the seeds of a Vanessa and Johnny Mac alliance beginning to form, where Vanessa wanted to potentially save Johnny Mac with the veto. Ultimately, she does not end up doing that, but it seemed like that there is the beginnings of a working relationship, and maybe we'll see to what length she's able to go to potentially save him, if that's her prerogative for tomorrow night. Talk about the fan fiction dream of Vanessa and Johnny Mac as a duo.
Yeah, I think that ultimately is what it may end up being, but who knows? I mean, you know, there's still a couple days left, and, you know, it'd be interesting to see where this thing goes. Ultimately, it would be crazy to see them work together. It would be very, you know, we talk about this in Big Brother all the time, the value of two people who've had a public fight being secretly aligned, and how, you know, I mean, faking a fight is one thing, because we've seen time and time again, it's really hard for people to effectively fake a fight. But if you've had a genuine blow up in the house and everyone is talking about it like there's a clear schism, I mean, that's a great opportunity. No one will see that coming. I think it would have been great. And, you know, it still could be great if Vanessa, you know, finds a way to keep John and really is serious about wanting to work with him. Because like John said, I mean, John's not lying to her when he says, I have no one. The one person who was willing to go to bat for him at all is Steve. And Steve is now in a position where he has to go to bat for Steve.
So many more questions about Johnny Mac versus Steve on the block. Unfortunately, I think a lot of them have to wait until we end up talking about the live feeds later on in the show. So we will just table a little bit of that conversation to talk about some of the other things that are non-spoiler related as we begin to set up Thursday night's show. Let's talk about the return of the Zingbot. Now, we've seen a lot of the Zingbot over the years. I believe the Zingbot first appears in Big Brother 12, and this is the first appearance that we've seen of the, this is what, the fifth appearance for the Zingbot, correct? 12, 13, 14, 15,
6.
16. 17. Oh my God. Oh, we've seen the Zingbot so many times. I'm not sure if we skipped a year along the way, but we've seen the Zingbot, and then we've seen the Zingbot got married. The Zingbot had a baby even, but now
the baby had a first birthday too. Yeah.
Very sad news to report that the Zingbot has now gotten divorced and is back single again.
Tale as old as time, Rob. Why won't anyone think of the robotic children?
Yeah. Oh, my God. So the Zingbot is now newly single. So many changes. The Zingbot has been upgraded to the Zingbot 9000. Clearly, CBS has really gotten into a bit of a battle with the unofficial Zingbot on Twitter, which is the Zingbot 3000. And they put that Twitter at Zingbot official up on the screen easily three times.
Yeah, no, if you didn't know, now you know. Zingbot is on Twitter. I thought it was really funny they jumped straight to 9,000. Like, where are they going to go next year? Because 10,000 doesn't have the ring to it. You know what I mean? So I don't know. Maybe I was talking about this online today. Maybe they'll do a thing where like Zingbot 5,000 comes back and is like talking about Zingbot 9,000 is now Skynet and we've got to stop him and stuff. So
boy, it does really seem though that CBS is annoyed with the unofficial Zingbot on Twitter.
Yeah, no, right. I mean, if it wasn't clear from the way that the Zingbot Twitter account was made, and like that was like the first thing you went after, then it was certainly made clear tonight by the fact that like Zingbot is now on Twitter.
Before, yeah.
Now, right now, just now.
In fairness, though, I did think that the Zingbot on Twitter was the official Zingbot from CBS and sanctioned by the show.
Yeah, I had learned, I guess maybe sometime last year, that it wasn't. But like people love that account, and apparently that account gets involved with like Hearts of Reality and stuff. So yeah, it's interesting how there's been people taking that account's side, because like this is the Zingbot that's been here, that's been through the grind with us, that's done the feeds with us for all these years and stuff. So it's like a bit of a Twitter loyalty. I think I love it. It's interesting.
Yeah, I just think it's a little bit, though. I think that I thought it was an official Zingbot account. So I think that there was probably, that should have been a little more upfront, I think.
Oh, yeah. Probably
just like
true.
The unofficial, unauthorized Full House story. I think that there should have been some, you know, unauthorized Zingbot fan account of what's going on there. But that being said, what about this situation for the Zingbot and Mrs. Zingbot? Now, I tweeted earlier tonight that I thought that maybe what happened was that the Zingbot got busted having an account on Zashley Madison. Do you think that was the case? Was the Zingbot stepping out on Mrs. Zingbot?
Probably. I love that tweet. Yeah, they had him on Zinder tonight. Yeah. It's like all the dating services for robots are really on the uptick in 2015, I guess.
Okay, so the Zingbot now is looking for love, and he comes in and gives some zings for everybody this year. Let's just quickly go through the crop of zings. How did you think that the Zingbot did this year?
It's kind of like Donnie's game. Suck Dynasty.
Yeah, that was the go-to for Meg.
Or Meg, right, or the sucks in the city. Yeah, no, I thought that was a little, I don't know, give me a week. I felt like I could, or give me a day. I felt like I could have come up with some better ones.
All right, give me the binary for Zingbot, 0 or 1. James, Meg is taking you to a place after the season is over, the friend zone. That's a 1? You like it.
I guess I got to give it a 1 relative to what else we heard tonight. Yes.
What did he say to Liz? I'm confused. Suddenly you're less attractive, less intelligent, less charming. Oh, wait, that's Julia. That was a sick burn, I thought.
Yeah, that was good. Especially because earlier in the season, like the house guests were really saying, like, why does Liz suddenly have no personality when Julia came in? So that rings true, I think.
Yeah. Then we had Steve. What's less cool than a trombonist that cries for his mom? Nothing. I thought that was a little bit that was pretty weak.
It's too easy. Yeah, right. Like, come on. Let's get a little creative with this kid. He's certainly given us enough material this season.
Will somebody take out the trash? That's just Austin. That's a little like a...
Right, it was like 1 quote from like Liz in the diary room in like week 2 about Austin being smelly or something. And it's like, that's just become like his main story.
We had Meg, you are like from New York and you are like Sex in the City. Too bad your game is like sucks in the city.
Oh, we could have done better for Meg, I'm sure. Like, yeah. I don't have it on the top of my head right now, but yeah, give me an hour. I mean, really.
Meg has totally disappeared from Big Brother 17. I mean, talk about, we made fun of like, oh, the Becky update and oh, where's Jackie? Is she even still in the house? What was Meg's last confession? I mean, I'm sure they went to her when she fell and hit her face, but outside of that,
the only confession tonight was when she couldn't figure out whose nose that was, and it was Meg's.
And she's so invisible. Yeah, she's so unrecognizable on the show. She can't even recognize herself. That's how bad it's gotten.
You've really got a firm grasp on this thing.
Has really become such a non-entity on the show. I mean, for somebody that I think has a lot of fans out there, she's really just turned into a complete nothing. Sorry, Meg.
Grandma gets cranky sometimes.
Yeah, Grandma is really nowhere to be found. Help, I've fallen and I can't get up. Sorry, Grandma.
It's like that girl from last year. What was her name? Veronica or something like that, right?
Johnny, the only thing less attractive than your laugh is your back hair.
Ah, come on.
Come on. Yeah. You're sticking up for Johnny Mac?
What can the guy do about that, right? Well, how do you want him to shave his back? That seems borderline impossible.
I think you get a buddy.
Who wants to do that?
You got
to
have a buddy.
To take that job on? Or is that like something the have-nots have to do, Rob? Because otherwise, I don't see who you convince in the Big Brother. That's harder than convincing someone not to backdoor you.
I've seen that a couple times because Johnny Mac is a fair haired guy. He has like blonde hair, but he has like, Johnny Mac has a lot of black back hair.
It is bizarre. Is this a little hobbit? It's a little hobbit like. Yeah, this is funny.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on there.
That's great. He's a good sport about it, though. It's funny.
Yeah. Vanessa, you've been playing a masterful game, assuming that game is the crying game. I'm going to give that a double zing or a double.
Yeah.
One, it's a stupid joke. And number 2, Eric Stein brought this up during my unauthorized Full House recap, where he felt like that the Zingbot should not be talking about people's games. And I have to agree with him on this count. Should the Zingbot be talking about how, Vanessa, you're playing an awesome game. Meg, your game sucks. We talked about Donnie last year. Too bad your game is like Suck Dynasty. Isn't that a big tell for the players when we start talking about that? Whose game is awesome and whose game sucks?
Yeah, you know, that's a really good point. Of course, leave it to Eric to bring it up. He's always got his finger on the pulse with this stuff. But yeah, no, I mean, it really is. It's again, it's like you and Taryn were talking about the buyback on Sunday. Anytime you introduce a foreign element in a game where it's a, you know, just a magnifying glass on a Petri dish and perception equals reality, you're going to alter perception and therefore you're going to alter reality. So yeah, I think that's something that CBS is a little lackadaisical about in some senses when they're pushing for entertainment, where I'm like, you know, we could find a way to do this that's entertaining and doesn't in any way even remotely inhibit the experiment, which to me is the best of both worlds.
Yeah, there's nothing else we could have come up with for Vanessa.
Yeah, I mean, sure, she's given us plenty of ammo. I mean, there's things she's done relative to, you know, not strategy. I mean, there's things you can say. They're escaping me at the moment because all I can think about is her game. But
the punchline of the joke was that she cries all the time. Like, I think we could have come up with a joke that is at least of equal quality. Not to say that joke was even good, and still zing Vanessa. She cries all the time.
Yeah, no, right. I think that's the way to go without describing her game at all.
Yeah. Then the last one, probably the zing of the night, probably the one that's going to end up in the future Zingbot montages. Liz, you've become such a big part of Austin's life. Who do you think you're going to meet first? His mom, his dad, or his girlfriend? Zing! Really great.
So, the mic drop.
Are you surprised that Zingbot went there? I mean, I guess it shouldn't surprise us considering some of the other things, even last year to talk about with Cody and Christine, Christine's husband. So interesting, though, the first time I feel like for the public that Austin's girlfriend comes into the mix.
Yeah. And, you know, that's something that I've seen people talking about online, most notably Christine. Why is the coverage so different this year? And I think it's an interesting question. You know, is it a male-female standard? Is it, you know, the fact that Christine was married and that bothers people more? I don't know, but it's an interesting question for sure. And I think it is especially interesting. I mean, I know Cody got the joke last time, but, you know, why is Liz getting this zing and not Austin? He's the one, like Liz said, I'm single. Like, why is this on me right now? Austin's the one who came in with a hang-up and decided it wasn't work. You know, he decided to end it. You know, it's not really... You know, I think people are blaming Liz a lot for being some kind of home wrecker. And it's like, she didn't know there was a home to wreck. You know, it's not really her fault.
So you feel like the Zingbot is perpetrating some sort of, for lack of a better term, some sort of like slut shaming towards Liz that, oh, you're breaking up this happy couple of Austin and his girlfriend. This is your zing. And Austin is like, she's some temptress. She's Delilah, that she is a homewrecker who has now destroyed this happy relationship.
Yeah, I don't even like Delilah.
It's Delilah.
But, no, it is. I mean, you know, and I don't know that I, you know, 100% agree with that statement, but I have seen it being made, and I think it's absolutely fair, and it's a conversation worth having because, you know, even before the Zingbot, this is something, like you said, it wasn't really getting talked about this season. It, you know, even on the TV show, the Cody Christine, like running fingers through the hair was like a running theme of the show. You know what I mean? So it does make one wonder, like, is CBS saying it's more okay for a guy to do this than a woman? And I, you know, I don't know I'm sure that's not what they're trying to say, but I think it's interesting that it has become so prominent that people are noticing it and reacting to it. And, you know, it'll be interesting to watch as the season goes on, if this is just where they end it, if they don't bring it up again, or if it becomes like kind of a running joke as we get closer to the end and they're still around.
So Liz seemed upset about the whole thing. She said to Austin before the veto competition that you stink and I'm hooking up with a guy who has a girlfriend.
Yeah. Yeah. He picked a real winner at that point, didn't she?
I know.
I'm having reservations.
Very upsetting. Very upsetting. Did you follow Austin's HOH letter this week?
Indeed, I did. I was kind of half hoping you'd get this like crazy, like real, like this is the real Judas where he's like, yeah, you know, I've been telling everybody I only wanted to make jury. That's nonsense. You know, I was telling everybody I care more about Liz than the game. Also nonsense. I'm going to wait till I get to final two and just blow it all up. I was really just hoping. But as soon as we saw that HOH letter where he's just talking about like, in medieval literature, you've got the three fates who weave people's souls
intertwined
with fabric. Yeah, like the quest and how him and Liz's you know, life threads have been woven together into a beautiful tapestry. I'm just like, oh no, this guy is totally serious right now. And any hope I had of like playing devil's advocate and giving him the benefit of the doubt because he still hasn't been nominated and he's like doing well through some circumstance that clearly isn't his own action, like, it's out the window now. Now that I've seen that blog entry, I think we can safely put to bed the idea that Austin is an idiot savant.
And soon to be zingle and ready to mingle.
Yeah, well, you know, hey, Liz is up to 93%, Rob. I didn't think it worked that way, but apparently it does.
Okay. So then we ended up having the competition. We've done this a couple times in Big Brother, but I always feel like this is unfair where people are getting to see the times ahead of time. And it's like the first person who goes has like no pressure on them or doesn't even realize how fast they need to be doing it. But then other people are getting into this time trial. Do you have any issue with how they do this?
Yeah, I was very surprised by this. I know like they've done time trials. You know, they did one earlier this season and didn't show the time. I don't know why they did that this time, because, yeah, it absolutely affects performance. The first person to go is just trying to, you know, keep a good pace. Once you give somebody a time, they're actively trying to beat that time. They're going to look at the clock. I mean, that's going to affect performance. So, again, this just comes back to why do anything that's going to alter perception? Perception alters reality in the game. And I just think, you know, just keep it. You know what I mean? Like when you do an experiment in any science class or any lab, you're trying to minimize variables. You want as many things to be a constant as possible. And I think, you know, that's an example of something that should remain constant throughout the game.
Yeah. So I felt like that was kind of unfair. And then I felt like the Zingbot was just a little half-assed in terms of we didn't even see him again. That was it. Came into the right. house, they did their thing, and then that was it.
Yeah, he was just like, hey, I need for you guys to find me a girlfriend, and I'll catch you guys at finale. Like, let me know how that works out for you. He didn't, like, stay to see, you know, what the match was or anything. Like, yeah, no, I mean, he was there when they, like, built his woman. He was there when they, like, built his child, and then he was like, I'm going to phone it in this time.
Yeah, typically you see him again before he leaves, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And like he's there while he's there. Sometimes he's like there continuing to like zing while they're like doing the maze puzzle, like the two maze puzzle, I feel like it usually is or something. So
yeah,
a lot of times he's still there and he's like talking about how people are doing in the game. So I was surprised we didn't get any of that.
Okay. So Zingbot really, I guess he had to get back on Twitter.
Yeah, right. That's right. He's engaged in a serious heated Twitter battle with the other non-official Zingbot.
Yeah.
He's losing followers as we speak. He's got to get back.
He's been continuing to zing a lot of the former house guests this week as well. Have you followed any of that?
I have. And more miss than hit for me. There was like one or two. And, you know, I thought the second one he sent out was like Jeff Schroeder. And he's like, hey, add Jeff Schroeder 23. What's the 23? The number of years until you get married and stuff like that. Like, I was like, okay, that's pretty good. But then when he got to like, I don't know, he made a couple, I'm trying to remember, but like today, I feel like maybe they've got like a different intern on the account or something. Cause they just don't have like the comedy chops that whoever was on there on Monday was bringing.
Yeah. Zingbot official, really, picking up the followers, left and right. I think, over 80,000 now, has been zinging a few for Frankie Grande tonight, three in a row after, Frankie Grande. Then, a couple of some interesting ones, goes after Derek, says, they say money can't buy happiness, but in your case, it looks like it can buy a lot of happy meals. Zingbot's making fat jokes for Derek.
Derek lost so much weight in the house too that it's like he's not even that big anymore. Like, I don't know. I mean, Frankie Grande, yeah. I mean, if you want to gain followers,
yeah,
is there an easier way?
Yeah, it's talking about shooting fish in a barrel. Sure.
Yeah.
It should just be all Frankie Grande zings, but
no one's getting angry over those.
Yeah. Doing Derek fat jokes. I think that you're barking up the wrong tree, Zingbot.
Yeah, and he made some joke, too, about Ian being a loser. And people are like, well, didn't he win? Like, how much of a loser are you if you win the friggin' game?
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, Zingbot is working overtime to try to make these new followers happy on Twitter. Okay. So, in terms of anything else from tonight before we get into questions, anything else you want to touch on?
I thought it was interesting. Yeah, I would like to talk about just briefly, like, you know, Vanessa's speech at the end and like the way Vanessa was acting towards Steve a little bit, like poor jury management, don't you think? And like we've been talking all season about like, is this emotion, are these emotional outbursts strategic or are they genuine? I think that speech is an indicator that this is genuine, right? Because there's no Do you see a strategic advantage? Because I really don't. In like, Steve, I know you were saying you were happy I won the veto. Bet you're real happy now, kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like, there's really no value to that, right?
No, I don't think so. Would you say that, you know, Vanessa's number one platform is always about she goes after the bullies. But wouldn't you say Vanessa was a bit bully-ish with Steve?
Yeah, and you know, like a lot of people are comparing it to the way Jace came at him, and I think it's a reasonable comparison. You know, yeah, very forceful, very in your face, not letting him get a word in, you know, really just dominating the conversation and walking away as soon as he tried to make a point. So yeah, I mean, I think this is, in a nutshell, you know, there's a lot of people out there who are loving Vanessa's game, just pure strategic, you know, game, and can't understand why people are hating on her. And I think if you want to understand and really are having trouble understanding it, this is what you need to look at, because this is not a move that's good for her game. It's just something that she can't catch herself before she goes down the hill. You know what I mean? It was just an emotional buildup. She reacted in the moment. And like, if she could go back and do that again, I've got to believe that she would handle it a little more passively. But this is who Vanessa is.
Yeah. The thing with Steve was kind of like that. She has a dog and the dog peed on the floor. And she really just had the dog by like the scruff of the neck and was like, did you do this? Did you do this, Steve? Did you do this, Steve? You are bad, Steve.
Bad.
Steve, you are bad.
Steve.
You are bad. You are bad, Steve. I can't forgive you. And he's just like crying and like, you know, panting.
Steve, like, whimpers off to the corner.
Right. Wants to run under the bed. Like, no, you are bad, Steve.
Yeah, my dog goes behind the couch anytime he thinks people are fighting. Yeah, it's that move.
Yeah. Steve doesn't like this.
Yeah, no. And, you know, I think another interesting point is, like, I do wonder if, like, you know, Steve and Johnny Mac both have, like opposite sides of what they bring, right? Like, Steve has all this strategic, like, book smarts, and he really gets the game, but he's so bad socially, and he really, like, when people, like, when he really, like, push comes to shove, and he has to save himself through language or, you know, being influential, persuasive, he's just not got that. And Johnny Mac, I feel like he's good at that. Like, he saved himself a couple times from the block. Just he has some good conversations sometimes where it's like, boy, this guy, he's socially capable. He knows how to endear himself to people, but he just was always missing what the alliances were in the house. Strategically, it always seemed like Johnny Mac was a step behind. If these guys could have been completely open and honest, like a Renegades level of disclosure from week one, I do wonder how far they could have gone as a pair. Because Steve and Johnny Mac, even though they were like the rock stars and working together most of the season, they really were keeping, like, not putting all their eggs in each other's basket, really hedging their bets. And I think that really has, like, you know, I do wonder, both of them had information at different times that the other could have really used, and maybe more could have come of this. So it's an interesting thought.
Who's your preference? If you just had whatever you was your decision, you got to see just as a live feed watcher and a TV show viewer, if you had one person that you could pick to stay for this week, would it be Johnny Mac or would it be Steve?
Oh, it's really tough.
Not who will, but who would you want if you lose?
I got
your
you.
Vote.
I don't know. I mean, my biggest thing is that I don't want to see, like, I feel like if one of the twins or something were to win next, we'd see kind of a slow, grueling kind of status quo situation start to develop. And I don't want to see that. I think this season has been so good because of its unpredictability and the back and forth. So I'd love to see whoever can stay, who can really change it up. And that's why it's tough for me, because I feel like Johnny Mac is probably in the best position to work with other people, but Steve is probably going to be better at, like, the memory comps and the days stuff and what's coming down the road. So Steve is probably more likely to win HOH power. So it's hard for me. I guess I'm going to say Steve, just because I feel like he might be able to do more with it. But I really do believe, like, Johnny Mac has a much better chance at winning and coming back. So I guess, you know, yeah, Steve staying opens the door for Johnny Mac to come back and both of them to be there. I think that'd be the best scenario for entertainment, maybe. So
let me touch on one more thing that you said before we get to the questions. You said that this season was unpredictable, and I've also said that. But when we go back to week two and week three, when we started to see the Sixth Sense start to take hold in the game, and we look back at who was in the Sixth Sense, and it was Austin, and it was the twins, and it was Vanessa, and it was Clelly, and Clelly's not there anymore. But isn't there a very realistic chance that four of the final four will be people that were from the Sixth Sense, that was the dominant alliance in the house back in week three?
Sure. And I think that's why in hindsight, people are going to say it was predictable if Vanessa wins. But they're going to forget that in week one, a Power 8 was formed that everyone was calling new bomb squad. Vanessa wasn't even in that. Vanessa seemed like she was. I remember thinking like at the end of week one, boy, Vanessa needs to start doing something. Why isn't she doing more? I thought this poker player would be doing more and would be in on the Power group. And yeah, I mean, so, you know, there was a point in time in this game where there was a dominant large majority alliance and Austin wasn't in it. Vanessa wasn't in it. The twins weren't in it. Clay and Shelly were. But it is interesting, like the ones that double dipped went. Austin and Vanessa like waited to see who they felt they really were going to work with, then committed and really held it together. But then, like you said, right, you've also got this period in there where James won, flipped it. You had a moment where Vanessa was ready to turn on Austin and throw it to Jackie and make that new Dark Moon alliance. So even though that didn't come to fruition, she went like through like nine chapters of the book before deciding she was going to throw it out and rewrite from page one. You know what I mean? So that in and of itself, you know, if you just look at the Wikipedia, maybe at the end of the season and see who was head of household, who went home, you might remember it that way. But I think if you were to go back and like rewatch the feeds from day one, you'd be like, yeah, wow, this was a crazy season.
Yeah, I do think that we've talked about Vanessa being similar to Tony from Survivor Kagyan. And I do think that that season of Survivor had that as well, where the people that Tony was aligned with after the merge, they ended up basically sticking together along the way. But every other week, Tony ended up making a move and taking out one of those people that was in that alliance with them, even though he got to the end with a lot of people that were in that group that they had made around the time of the merge. So I think that this season does have a little bit of that to it as well.
Yeah, no, I love that comparison the more the game goes on. And I think it's very interesting, too, that like if I were to pick people who seem to be great at, I mean, Vanessa's had her moments where she thinks people are lying and they're not. But for the most part, when people are lying, she's usually rarely thinking they're telling the truth. And Tony was very good at spotting liars, I felt like, as well. So I do wonder if there's something to that. Like, you know, the people who are more prone to emotional or kind of mood swings and, you know, knee-jerk decision-making, if they're also people who tend to be more perceptive as well.
Okay, let's jump into some of these questions. Good stuff so far tonight. Scranton Analytics wants to know, is anyone else tired of the James scaring house guest scenes? I feel like we've seen enough of that to get it that he's the biggest prankster in the house. What is your exasperation level with James scaring Julia?
It's low, and that's probably because I've been watching the feeds and I know what's like been taking place. And it's like, if we don't get that Captain Camo segment, we're getting them bowling with pots and pans, or we're getting like Liz and Julia just like, I mean, they've just been talking a lot of smack. It's not been a lot strategically that's really gone down. It's been a lot of, you know, wishy-washiness and waffling. So we get that segment as a little bit of change of pace. I understand it. I can appreciate it. And then we also see the moments where Austin's saying, I really want to keep James and Meg because I just enjoy their company more. And that is an example of why James is fun to be around in the house. And I think that's like, even though it's not really game, it kind of is social game because James is keeping it light in there and people like that.
Yeah, I'm all in on it at this point. I was out and now I'm in, because to me, it's a little bit of Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote. And you kept getting to the point where, well, it's not like that, because I feel like Wile E. Coyote would be the James in the scenario. But I just am really enjoying this because it never gets to the point where Julia is like, okay, James, I know it's you. Like, you're not going to scare me this time. I know you're right there. It seems like every single time she should know that James is going to jump out and scare her. Yet every single time you get the big same exact reaction where she runs away. Where he hears like, James, is that you? and then eventually when he's like, ah, and she's like runs out of the room screaming. So I want to see how far this can go.
Yeah, and I also like that Julie even asked about it at the live show, and Julie's like, oh, I'm going to get him back. But James is always just two steps ahead, and he just keeps getting her with no fear of repercussion whatsoever. And yeah, he's been getting other people too, but I like that the show is choosing to like they showed us the one, you know, Saran wrapping everything Steve owns. But I like that the show is choosing to show this as more of like just a James picking on Julia type of thing.
It's Julia's kind of a Julia thing. Also, it's like the only thing that Julia has also.
Right. Yeah. It's like, what else are we going to give to Julia if not make her? I mean, she has gotten the most of the the brunt of the James pranks, but it's like, we're just going to make it seem like James doesn't prank anyone else ever. And I kind of like that idea.
Okay. So let's go to this next question. This is from Ryan Hill. Are you surprised that the show finally addressed that Austin had a girlfriend?
You know, again, like, I'm not really surprised just based on how they've handled these situations in the past. You know, I remember Big Brother 2 when they were talking about Shannon and Will. I remember they brought in Allison's boyfriend at one point, and then they've done this a few times, you know, brought in the boyfriend and then added the ex right before the name. I remember that happening as like kind of a thing during the show. So yeah, I mean, this is not new. Like, they've addressed this kind of thing before. It is a little surprising to me that it took so long, given that this has kind of been going on for a few weeks. I do wonder if there's something to, like, Will didn't really get any crap. Shannon got all the crap. You know, it's an interesting thought.
This is I'm going to write a think piece about this, about how the slut shaming of Big Brother, the legacy of slut shaming on Big Brother.
I think it's real, Rob. I think, you know, I'm seeing a lot of people vocalizing it, and I think there's some merit to what's being said right now.
I'm going to sit down with all of the women that Big Brother has made a big deal about this with. I'm going to get Christine on the show. I'm going to talk to Allison Irwin.
Yes, yes. I like this.
Talk to Nicole from Big Brother 2.
You bring Shannon, just leave your toothbrush behind.
Yes. Be very interesting think piece that I'm going to write. What about Austin's girlfriend? Do you think that we'll do some sort of Thursday night eviction show piece where we're going to check in with her?
No, I really, like, from everything I've heard Austin say on the feeds, like, Austin was supposed to be on last season. Like, Hayden was his alternate. And so, like, it's interesting. Austin really was cast for Big Brother 16. It sounds like the main reason he didn't go was his girlfriend was adamant that they were done if he did it. So it really is interesting that, like, I can't imagine she would have signed the waiver. I don't think there's, like, and if she did, I don't think she would agree to a segment now. Mm. It's not a good look.
Come on, why not?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's an opportunity for her to burn him on national television, but it's like, do you really want to be that girl that's just known for burning? Like, you know, having somebody just treat you like garbage on TV? I don't think she wants anything to do with this situation. I don't really blame her.
Yeah. Say, is somebody treating me like garbage? No, that's just Austin. Zing. Okay, Logan Adair wants to know, have they ever done it where the people not selected in the veto get to sit in a room and watch the video on the screen? I feel like we've had that before.
We have, yeah. And I'm trying to remember if it was the veto last year or I think it happened on a veto or two last year, and that luxury comp where all the house guests came back into the house last year and trashed the house and Zach was pouring Fruit Loops on his head and stuff. Like, everyone was locked in the HOH and they were competing in a competition that day. So we've definitely seen these situations before where it's like the house guests not participating are locked in watching on a screen. I know we've seen this before. I kind of like it. I think it's interesting. And yeah, I remember, like, Derek and them were kind of like each picking some. Oh yeah, they had to pick somebody to root for and then they would win money if their person win money. So yeah, we've seen stuff like this.
Okay, let's go to Alexander W. Should Vanessa have used the veto? What would have been the best move for her individual game this week? I think we've talked through that she should not have used the veto. Are you comfortable with her not using the veto and her game that she's played up to the point that we're going to talk about with the live feeds?
I am, because I think it doesn't really, I don't know that it alters her position too much. Like, I think if she were to get rid of James, that's probably maybe better for her. But does she lose, like, everything she's built up with Austin and the twins in the process, which would completely nullify any advantage gained there? So, I you know, this has been a crazy week where there's a lot of different ways it could have gone. I think, you know, given how adamant Austin was, I don't think you can find fault with Vanessa's decision.
Okay, a couple more questions before we go to the live feed. This is from Joy Mercy Puppies. Should they change the name from Big Brother to Mother May I? You don't have to ask for permission to use the veto or put up noms.
You don't, but it behooves you to try, you know?
To get the blessing from the HOH?
No, I mean, if you're the HOH, to try to get someone to agree to be a pawn, don't you think? I mean, isn't that in your best interest?
Sure,
like
because
I can always refuse, but hey, I mean, why not take a shot? Right?
But what about in terms of using the veto?
What do you mean? Like,
I feel like we don't often have the scenario where the person who holds the veto wants to use the veto and the HOH says, no, I would like it if you did not use the power of veto. And the person who holds the veto says, okay, since you do not want me to use the power veto, I will not use the power veto.
Right.
Right. Yeah. That doesn't happen often. I feel like usually it's somebody is trying to persuade them to, a person to use the power of veto.
I think a big part of that maybe is that most weeks in the Big Brother house in any given season, because it's strategically sound, you have, and Liz was even talking about how it's concerning her how Austin is doing this. You pick your target and you stick with it. That's the name of the game. So then all these other people aren't worried about you. You know, Austin has done this thing where he's waffled so much this week that everyone's a little worried about Austin now. And that's bad. Like, you know, you're going to have to make an enemy when you win head of household. That's inevitable. So would you rather make one enemy or multiple enemies? Because there's no way you're not going to make an enemy. And the danger with like, I don't know what I'm going to do, is that everyone is worried that you're maybe coming after them. Whereas if you're just like, yeah, it's Johnny Mac, I don't know where he stands, I don't trust him, and you make that clear from day one and you are just adamant. And nothing about anytime anyone comes to you, is it good? Yeah, nothing changes. That really instills a sense of security with people. People can then think of you as you know, someone who's more reliable, as someone who's not so, you know, wishy-washy in the house. And then once you've kind of established that, then it's really easy for you to be like, look, the plan hasn't changed for days. Why are you going to try to change it now? But this was a weird week where the plan was changing like every hour. So it's like, you know, there is no real plan. So why not talk about options?
Okay, one last question, then we'll do live feeds. John Walsh, it's been said that if Vanessa was male, everyone would appreciate her game more. What are your thoughts on this?
It has been said. I think it's an interesting point, and I think it's maybe a fair point. A lot of people's knocks on Vanessa is that she's not like owning her game in the diary room, right? And the emotional outburst. The owning the game in the diary room thing was also a knock on Derek last year. Yeah. I mean, a lot of people had issue with Derek kind of like on the feeds. He would sometimes kind of do things that he would then say in the diary room, like he was adamant about not doing. And yeah, I mean, you know, again, it just goes back to, you know, Dan, Will, all these great players who use that as their alliance of, you know, whatever, like this is my alliance with you, America. You know what I mean? And it's, that's what the fans really love, is they love to, for players to treat it like an actual diary. But I feel like the can of worms was opened with Team America on it, Rob, where like once you have the viewers affecting the game, you almost can't blame a player for trying to spin their perception. It's unfair almost.
And when we go back to Danielle Reyes, who I really think was especially good in that oral history of Big Brother that I'm going to be talking about in that podcast for tomorrow. Yeah. She was the person, I don't think anybody was saying, boy, if Danielle Reyes was a man, we'd really, you know, appreciate her game. I think she was the person who, as a woman, she owned her game, probably to her detriment with the way that it ultimately ends up turning out, where she is completely truthful about everything that she's doing. And the people that are going to be on the jury are watching the show at home and don't want to vote for her. And I think that she's not crying about things in the house. And I think it's just the crying stuff. I think it's hard for people. That gets old, where the more that you cry in the house. So I don't know if it's necessarily a male-female thing, but they're probably, I mean, it depends on whatever. Your mileage may vary. If you don't think that Vanessa is doing a good job, I mean, maybe if she was a male, you would think that she was doing better. So I think it's definitely hard to say. Or maybe you think that Vanessa's not doing a great job and it's because that she's crying and has nothing to do with, you know, men versus women. So hard to say, but it would be interesting to see, because typically we don't see a male player, you know, crying as much as Vanessa is doing. So it's hard to make that one-to-one comparison.
Yeah, that's true. Got to wait for me to get cast, I guess.
Yeah. Not to say that we don't have male players that cry a lot, but we just don't tend to have those players in the conversation for being masterminds either.
Yeah, for sure.
Just sort of an interesting Venn diagram of people we're talking about as masterminds and people that are very emotional.
I do think about Big Brother Canada 1, where you had Anil like trying to fake cry and doing like hyperventilating. I really kind of enjoyed that. I wish we'd see more of that from guys, because yeah, it is off-putting to see like a grown man cry. Like, I do think there's something to that. Use that, because it really, like, people are like, oh God, this is pathetic. Like, I can't even, I just feel so bad. You know, it's like, and Austin was, you know, that's part of what saved Austin during Vanessa's week. You know, he's just so pathetic. Like, that's how you survive in the house. You just look like Johnny Fish's dead fish strategy. I mean, I called him Johnny Fish. Johnny Mac's dead fish strategy. You know, it's a thing. It's real. It works.
It's real. All right, Johnny Fish. There you go. All right, before we get into talking about the live feeds, let me take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode, and those are friends over at Mazda, because if driving matters to you, you like to drive with windows down, potentially, the wind blowing through your hair, and the smell of pine trees and fresh asphalt, looking forward to these moments when it's just you and the road without any distractions, handling every curve and feeling every nuance in the road, asking yourself, does driving matter to you? Because if it does, we build cars just for you. Nobody will zing you when you're driving a Mazda, because to us, driving matters. Mazda, let's get into talking about the live feeds. Here we go.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
A spoiler
warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Yes. All right. Time to talk about the spoilers. Time to get ready for Thursday night. And Alex, are things still up in the air?
They are, Rob.
Ooh.
They are.
Intrigue.
It's been that kind of season. Not every week, but I mean, there's very few seasons. I mean, we've talked about this, and, you know, we talked about this some in Big Brother Canada with Jordan's week, where it was so exciting because it went down to the wire. Not very often in Big Brother do you have these down to the wire weeks. And now here we go again in Big Brother 17 with another just can't make up our minds type of situation. And is it frustrating at times to watch? Sure. But is it better than boring? To me, yes.
It's going to be an interesting night because we still don't know necessarily who's it going to be with Steve versus Johnny Mac. And we also don't know who's going to come back into the house. So it's kind of a lot of things, a lot of dominoes that still have to fall in the next 24 hours.
It's a lot of variables that are going to become very set in stone by the end of, by the end of tomorrow. And, you know, after tomorrow, it's really going to tell us, I mean, is this season going to continue and be kind of up in the air, or I mean, depending on who wins tomorrow, we really could start to see a solidified, like, go ahead and pencil in Austin and Vanessa and the twins for four of the final six or something like that, you know? So I think tomorrow's HOH is huge. Who comes back from the jury is huge. And then once we have those variables set, we can really start to think about who's winning this game, because there's nothing left to question, really.
All right, so talk to me about what this decision ultimately hinges on.
Well, you know, a lot of it comes back to this whole, you know, Vanessa, Steve argument that Steve still has done a terrible job of recovering from. And it's interesting. You've actually seen some people, and, you know, I think one of the most interesting things you've seen is Steve asked James, like, should I go talk to Vanessa? Should I go apologize? Like, right after a blow up. And James is like, yeah, go right now. Go talk to her. Like, just giving Steve knowingly horrible social advice, trying to, like, actively make Steve sabotage his own game, and like just laughing about it with Meg after Steve leaves to go give Vanessa a hug. He's like, can I give you a hug? No, Steve, I don't want a hug right now. And it's just so hard to watch from Steve's perspective. But from James' perspective, it's really good. You know, that's like the one of the little subtle things you can do that just saves James. Because if James doesn't get, I think, you know, James getting backdoored this week was probably the best case for a lot of people. And if James doesn't get backdoored this week, he's suddenly looking like he might have a lot more life in this game with someone coming back from jury. So James is doing everything he can to really kind of set things up for himself without making like overt plays and standing out. But yeah, it has led to Vanessa now wants to save Johnny Mac. And, you know, it's a question of if she's going to be able to flip like Meg and James.
So with Austin not going after anybody from Brass Tacks, how much is that a real thing moving forward?
I mean, Austin and the twins decided it was legit. Like, they're going to hitch their wagon there. And, you know, I mean, I think they want to get to the end with them and Vanessa and then still kind of ride it out. But I don't think at this point that I think James would nominate Austin and Liz at this point. I don't think Vanessa is his primary target anymore. I think he's spent a solid 2 weeks under the Austin and Liz regime now, and it's become very clear how much time Austin and the two twins spend, the three of them up in the bedroom talking. And even if you do feel like Vanessa is with them, it has to be obvious to anyone at this point that Vanessa would be the fourth, so that she shouldn't be anyone's first target.
who's the person that comes back into the house that really upsets the apple cart the most?
It's a good question, Rob. And, you know, it sounds like it might be another one of these crapshoot competitions tomorrow and not endurance.
How do you know?
I was seeing something on Reddit, and it was, I'm trying to remember where they pulled it from, but it was a good point, and now I'm blanking on why. But I think it had to do with the length of the episode coupled with, like, oh man, I can't, I'm blanking now, but I know there was an argument about it. I thought it was a pretty good argument, and it I think a lot of it had to do with just timing and what they're going to have to show tomorrow with everything that goes on, and how it's going to be next to impossible to have a returnee with an endurance situation.
But, I mean, why couldn't we do the same sort of competition that we did in Big Brother 15?
We could, although we've already done the wall.
Yeah.
So I guess, like, if it was maybe like the rolling on a log or something, I don't think of a lot of endurances that come to mind readily that haven't been done that could be used for that kind of a thing. And, like, if they're not going to, and then I just think about the fact that, like, you know, for a live show purposes, especially, like, you know, they're talking about doing some stuff right before the eviction during the live show, Rob, that would eat into the time. I don't know if production's going to be cool with it or not. And that's the rock, paper, scissors stuff that we can get into.
Yeah, tell me about rock, paper, scissors. I mean, I still think that, like, let's say they did the chicken wire egg thing, and then whoever is the first person to do it from that group of four gets back into the house. And then if it's the first person overall, they become HOH. I mean, I don't see any reason why we couldn't do that for Sunday.
Like, if everyone's doing the chicken wire egg at the same time, yeah. But it's about the hoof. If the jury beats everyone else, then they also win head of household.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm cool with that. I like those competitions where there's like, yeah, you're trying to beat the other jury members, but it's actively also the head of household competition. And if you're extra good, you can come in with like
that would be
with a new life
extra
and
good.
Power.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I like that a lot. Yeah. It would be exceptional.
No, not my favorite competition, but yeah, it said that they'd all be egg people for one night.
Egg people, right? Yeah. Okay.
So talk to me about rock, paper, scissors. Could we get some Rochambeau action?
Yeah, or Kai Bai Bo, as they call it on The Genius. Yes, we absolutely could, Rob. It's a conversation that started out seemingly as like one of the biggest jokes since Skittles last year, you know, where we were going to use Skittles to determine who went home, and that didn't seem very fair to me at all.
Yes. But
the reality is that people just are really torn on this. Vanessa really wants to save Johnny Mac. Austin and the twins prefer Steve, but they don't. Nobody wants to like fracture existing alliances over the Steve versus Johnny Mac decision. Everyone seems to care, but no one really cares. So that's how we end up in a situation where everyone is potentially willing to do a game of rock, paper, scissors right before the live eviction, which is divisive on Twitter. There are fans who say it is an absolute mockery and an insult to the game that this is even being talked about as a legitimate option. And there are former players as well who are just, you know, unbelievably offended
name
that people
names.
Are considering this.
Who's very angry about this?
I know I've seen like Dick talking about how obnoxious this is. I've seen, I think Daniel Reyes, a lot of people have been saying that this is not something that they could sign off on any form. To me, it's like the worst jury management ever. So if you want to like make the terrible, terrible strategic decision to play rock, paper, scissors, that's your game. Like that's the way I look at it. It is a strategic decision. It's just like the worst one you could make. It's strategically deciding not to make a strategic decision, basically. Well,
talk me through the way that we're going to actually do rock, paper, scissors potentially. Is it Johnny Mac versus Steve on the live show are going to do rock, paper, scissors?
Yeah, that's probably how it would work. Like they talked about it first, like should every juror like for their own vote play a game? And there's no way they would let that fly for time. So yeah,
it would
just
be
Johnny Mac versus Steve, like a winner take all right before the vote.
So instead of their speeches, would it be something like, Julie, we've decided that we're going to do rock, paper, scissors for who the house should vote for. So here we go. Once, twice, three, shoot. Paper covers rock. Congratulations, Steve. You'll be staying in the house this week. And then each person is like, all right, here's Austin. Steve got paper, which covered rock. So we expect Austin to vote Johnny Mac out of the house. Let's see what he does.
Yeah, you can see why this idea might rub some former players the wrong way. This is not like you know, people talk about, like, I want to see people who own their game and play ruthlessly. And like, this is, you know, look up the opposite in the dictionary and you'll find rock, paper, scissors to determine eviction. This is not any of that. But, you know, like, the reasoning behind it does exist. It's not like they just like decided like, oh, I don't know what to do. It's really like, I don't want to piss off anyone. Someone could come back. Why don't we just like take the decision out of our hands and then no one can blame us? When in reality, everyone can blame you for this complete lack of a decision because you had the opportunity to make a decision. So it's, you know, it's a choice they're making. People act like, you know, they're offended that they're going to make it. But really, I just think this is something that's going to like ruin their games. Like, I think this could be a deciding factor that would allow Meg to beat one of the twins in a final two scenario. So to me, it's very interesting. And I, as a player, God, would I be furious. But as a fan, let's see it. That's crazy. It's a Purple Rock situation almost. Like, I'm okay with this.
Yeah, I don't have a big problem with it. If that's what they want to do, if people want to do something stupid, I have no problem with watching it and talking about it.
Right, yeah, like this comes back to people saying like with Clay giving up, right? And people say like he wasted a casting slot, you know, and people are saying like this is a waste of a slot for people who would play the game more strategically. But you know what? They chose who they chose, and that's the nature of the game. Like you throw in who you threw in, you might have expectations about what they're gonna do, but then what you get isn't always what you expect. And I certainly wouldn't have expected anyone to try rock, paper, scissors, but here we are.
Like, yeah, don't blame Johnny Mac and Steve for this, each going for a 50% chance to stay in the game. Blame Austin for having the dopiest HOH week of all time.
Or blame the rules of Big Brother for allowing it in the first place. I always say, don't hate the player, hate the game, you know?
You can hate the players here. I don't think that Big Brother needed to put in the official rule book, the house guests should not make the two nominees play rock, paper, scissors to decide who they vote for.
Oh, no, I wouldn't want the rule. I'm just saying if there is no rule, I personally don't have issue with anyone who's doing something that's not breaking a rule. You know, like if the game allows it, it's fair game in my eyes.
Yeah, I think it'd be pretty exciting to see if they were going to end up doing
on
that
the live show. I mean, yeah, that's what I think. Like a lot of people are talking about it like they would be furious and it's a slight to strategy. But I mean, guys, let's think about this on the live eviction. Everyone would be on pins and needles. If you think you wouldn't be watching this on the edge of your seat, reevaluate. You would be. This would be crazy.
Yeah. No, I think it would be a thing that we would talk about for years to come. And anytime we're doing something like that on one of these shows, I'm interested to see how it would play out.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, to me, it is like the first instant. Well, like, I guess, you know, Skittles is kind of a similar scenario. But to me, I instantly thought like, oh, Big Brother's Purple Rock situation. Like, here we go. They won't make a decision, so they're going to leave it up to chance. Like, it's finally reared its head in this game as well.
Okay, let's keep going. This is a question from Patrick, who says, which is more disrespectful to Big Brother, the rock, paper, scissors thing, or Austin saying he doesn't care what happens because he got his TV time? Did he say that?
He did say that. But you know who else said that, Rob, repeatedly and often? Derek.
So you feel like it's a game move?
Let me clarify. That was the other line that Austin has been repeating. Not the TV time, but the Austin keeps saying he only cares about getting second. He's there for second. He just wants the 50 grand. He's only playing the jury. And like that element of the I don't care is something Derek was always doing that, like, if you took him at face value, you might think he's disrespecting the game too. Obviously, Austin, now that we've read the HOH blog, we have to take it at face value. And that's unfortunate. You know, at the end of the day, they cast him, so you know, what you get is what you get. But yeah, no, I have more of an issue with only wanting to play for TV time and actually meaning it. You know, I would love it if he was just, you know, playing a role, but I don't believe that anymore.
But do you get the sense that's what he's doing? Do you feel like Austin is just playing for TV time?
Yeah, a bit. I mean, you know, I really was ready to give him a bit more of the benefit of the doubt until I read his HOH blog. I really, like, there's no upside to not being honest in that thing. And that thing was just, there wasn't a lick of strategy to be found. It was all just sunshine and rainbows and Liz and unicorns. And man, no. I can't defend this guy anymore. I feel like my role on Twitter is always like devil's advocate. Like people are saying, you know, he's terrible, he's not playing the game. I'm like, what if he is and he's just completely full of it? You know, like, is it possible?
It's possible.
The jury's out now. I don't think we can even consider it with Austin anymore. Okay. That's a shame.
All right, let's take some more questions. This one is from Nicolette, who says, if you're Johnny Mac, what's your pitch to Vanessa to keep you, and how do you get the rest of the votes you need? You'll need 3 votes tomorrow night, correct?
Correct. Yeah, so the pitch to Vanessa is made, and that pitch was made more by Steve being bad at, you know, the antithesis. Sometimes you don't need to make a pitch. You just need the person you're up against on the block to shoot themselves in the foot. So Johnny Mac has Vanessa pretty soundly, and I think, you know, to the point where Vanessa is even trying to go to bat for him. So he's got someone willing to campaign for him, which is the best, and especially when they're the best campaigner in the house. That being said, he has to get James and Meg. Austin and the twins have no relationship with Johnny Mac. The only relationship they developed with Johnny Mac was created through Steve as a linchpin. So there's nothing there. They're never going to be persuaded to keep Johnny Mac. So he's got to get Meg and James, or that's it.
Okay. Let's go to why is Austin so against targeting James and Meg? That's from Nicolette. Aren't they poised to work with anyone who comes back into the house? This is the thing I think that we might be saying. Let's say somebody comes back into the house, like a Jackie or Shelly or somebody who wants to get back together with them. Aren't we going to look back at this week and say, boy, what a waste of the HOH week for Austin?
I think so. You know, it was such a tough, I spent so much time this week racking my brain over, like, what's the best move for Austin? Because he just found himself in such a tough spot here. But, you know, ultimately, yeah, I think, you know, if you get rid of James, that's a twosome now, no matter what happens with the returning juror. And that's just not a lot less threatening to your three. I think if you allow another three to develop that's firm and, you know, yeah, that's not getting broken up, that is a legitimate threat to Austin and the twins. And then you could find a situation where they're going back and forth with HOHs, leaving Vanessa sitting around in the middle, which would be great for her. I'd be surprised if it goes that far, if like maybe they get rid of Liz or Austin and then target Vanessa. But yeah, I mean, no, it's they were really trying to, you know, find two people they could pick and feel good about going all the way to 5 with. And no one's taken those 3 to 5. It's just not, there's no sense to it whatsoever numerically.
Okay, let's take another couple of questions. Jeremiah Yap says, are you surprised the players in the house automatically assumed that someone was returning to the game? I mean, Julie has kind of been super not vague that somebody's coming back to the house, right?
Yeah, that's the problem. She said it once on the live show at the double.
Do they know it's tomorrow?
Oh, man, I'm trying to remember. I don't think they know for sure it's tomorrow, but they were given the hint like 2-3 weeks ago, and it was like this exact week last year. So they're like speculating it's tomorrow, just like they were speculating about the double eviction being the next day. And they were correct about that. So it's less about they've told them directly and more that they've hinted it's coming. And then they remember when it came last year and they're able to like very easily put the pieces together.
Okay.
And then expect the expected, Rob.
Okay. And here we go from Random Mr. 411. Who do you think is going home tomorrow night with that? Who do you think is coming back from the jury? All right, call your shot. Give me your person who's going home and the person who's coming back.
Okay. I think right now, if nothing changes, I think Johnny Mac probably leaves. As for who comes back, I'm worried it's going to be one of these crapshoot things and it could be anybody, but I'm going to... I'll go out on a limb and say Johnny Mac, just because I feel like he's going to, you know, still be very, very, like he won't be, you know, they talk about baseball players coming off the bench and being cold. There's not going to be any of that with Johnny Mac. He's still going to be fired up from rock, paper, scissors. That would get my adrenaline going. So
yeah,
who knows? But if he's, you know, if he's at all like coming out of the house with any kind of energy or, you know, and I feel like most people had some kind of motivation or vindictive energy as soon as they're evicted. I feel like you can channel that.
Now, barring an HOH win, do you see anything changing in the house with Johnny Mac going out and coming right back?
Potentially. It's going to be tough. I think, you know, like he buys himself, he doesn't have the allies he needs to like recreate a foothold for himself. But if somebody who's not Vanessa or Austin or the twins wins, he definitely buys himself. And even Vanessa, I think, because at this point, I think she'd sooner go after James. I think he maybe buys himself a week or two. And that's the time he would need to really kind of kick the game into high gear, really try to make some deals and convince people that no one would vote for him since he's returning and really try to do that stuff. But we haven't seen him do tons of, you know, like John has been very safe this season with his game talk. He really doesn't want to have conversations that he's worried are going to get back to other people. So that's going to be interesting to see. I think he's going to have to take more chances if he comes back in terms of having conversations that he that may get out. But at some point, you've got to take that risk. You know what I mean? If you want to, you've got to give trust to gain trust. So I think, you know, if he can do that and find a way to, you know, get people who are receptive that are like maybe James and Meg, if they'll hear him out, then he's got a shot to go deeper in the game. I still don't like anyone who returns to win, though.
Okay. And one last thing, Alex, before I let you go tonight. Me and you, rock, paper, scissors for all the marbles.
All the marbles, Rob?
Yep. Yep. Are you ready?
Are you ready? I guess. All right.
All right. On three. Okay.
All right.
Once, twice, three. Shoot. What do you got? What do you got? You show it on the screen. You show it on the screen.
Paper, paper. Oh,
okay. It's both paper. Okay. All right. Here we go. Once, twice, three. Shoot. Okay. Both paper again. Oh, it's scissors. It's scissors this time. All right. So Alex wins. I get evicted.
I'm one of those guys that just expect other guys to go rock. You know what I mean? Like guys like to go rock. So I just always go paper.
There you go. All right.
And now I will always lose rock, paper, scissors.
There you go. You're the rock, paper, scissors champion of REJP. Congratulations.
Oh, boy.
We'll do that as a segment ongoing for the podcast every show. It'll be the worst segment ever.
Hey, yeah. It works for the genius. I mean, they've made it a mountain out of a molehill there with Kai Bai Bo. So.
How do you disrespect this podcast by doing rock, paper, scissors?
Hey, you know, I mean, it's our podcast. So, like, if we're going to be horrible with our viewer management, then that's our call to make, right, Rob?
Yeah, that's right. I want to get it to some way where it's Rob, paper, scissors.
Nice.
I don't know what the symbol will be for Rob.
that little bee hat, I think.
Yeah, okay, there you go. All right, Alex, great job tonight. I'm sure you will be having lots of updates along the way at Alex Kidwell on Twitter. We're also going to be taking the questions and putting them together for the exit interview. Unless it's Johnny Mack or somebody like that or Steve and he comes right back into the house, we will have an exit interview via email with one of those two people. So you could check that out. We got into our Survivor preseason coverage with Josh Wigler, who is going to be talking with me 4 weeks from tonight on the first Survivor Know-It-Alls of the season. Josh is going to be filling in for Steven Fishback this season. And in this very time slot right here, we're going to be talking about Survivor in 4 weeks. And then actually, you know, we got to figure that out. I forget that. We'll probably do the Big Brother show live and then we'll do the Survivor Know-It-Alls maybe on Thursday morning or maybe all in one night. It's a lot to figure out 4 weeks from tonight. But
that's a tough spot. Yep.
If you want to hear our preseason coverage kickoff, the seven things you need to know about Survivor Cambodia, you can see that on robhasawebsite.com. Also, if you have the Big Brother live feeds already, there are some exclusive Survivor interviews that CBS.com, they used to have the videos just up on CBS.com. This season, it's all part of the CBS All Access. But if you already have Big Brother live feeds, you could check that out. Or if you want to go for the 1 week free trial and see those videos that are up on CBS.com, you could use our link at robhasawebsite.com/live feeds. It's all one thing for live feeds and everything on the CBS All Access app. All right. Tomorrow, we're going to have the interview that I did with Matthew Jacobs, who writes for the Huffington Post, who wrote the oral history of Big Brother. You can check that out later on Thursday. Plus, we'll be live with Ian Terry and Brent Wolgamott to talk about everything that happens in the eviction and the eventual return of one of the players back into the house. Have a great night, everybody. How about a hashtag? Would you like Johnny Fish or Rob Paper Scissors?
It seems the chat room is digging on Rob, paper, scissors.
Yeah, there you go.
I like that too.
There you go. All right, everybody. Have a great night, and we'll talk to you on Thursday after the eviction. Take care.